You don't have to spend much time online or in pretty much any social media space or indeed in any other media outlet spaces before you will hear or read something along the lines of, "Oh, you libs, you're all snowflakes triggered by everything." Normally coming from someone whose whole identity seems to revolve around being upset at people for being queer or brown or well-educated or vulnerable or poor or concerned about the environment or compassionate or generally anyone who doesn't look, sound, think or act like them. Because we're the sheeples, apparently. But that is a digression. I mentioned the word trigger because I think that our scriptures set for today, this Sunday traditionally called Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth after Easter, offer some trigger words within them. Not the harmful triggers related to assault, murder, or even genocide that we can find in parts of our scriptures, but triggers which might make us react to the way in which our scriptures are being used today. It has been used over centuries, honestly, for harm, for oppression, and to prop up prejudice and bias, and we're seeing it. The trigger words that jumped out for me today were shepherds and gatekeepers. And I want to think a little more about them for the next few minutes. Today, we seem to be in another era of bad shepherds, akin to that which Ezekiel refers to in our Hebrew scriptures for today. And by shepherds, Ezekiel is referring to all the leaders of Israel, not just the religious leaders, not just the king, but everyone who has responsibility for the well-being of the land. We remember here that in the belief of our Hebrew forebears, there was no distinction between the activity of the temple, the royal court, the religious leaders, the people, the prophets, and the very land itself. They were all intertwined, and all are called to the divine work of justice, diversity, and equity. The law was provided that all could live in harmony with one another and with the earth and with the divine, that this would be the source of well-being for all. Not that I'm advocating any kind of theocratic system, but recognizing the interconnectedness of all things is at the heart of our Hebrew forebear scriptures, and therefore of ours. We hear and read about so-called nationalists, including so-called Christian nationalists around the world, who espouse values that they call traditional, who are led by pastors who call women inferior, queer people an abomination, and their own country the best in the world. And it's not just the United States. These so-called shepherds seek a religion of control and domination, where one race or gender or culture or sexual orientation is considered far above the others to such an extent that anything other than their preference does not really have a right to exist. These are indeed the shepherds that Ezekiel rails against, those who weaponize religion for their own benefit at the expense of the marginalized, the needy, and the excluded. And there is more. Looking back at my notes for this particular Sunday through the years, I've repeatedly wrestled with the images of shepherd and sheep. At least as I read today, I was thinking how often we veer so quickly towards not thinking about the good shepherd, but about us, and we've been taught to think about us as bad sheep. You only had to listen closely to the 1 Peter chapter 2 reading that we had today for that. But my distrust of images of shepherd and sheep stretches back to my first days at theological school, when our pastoral studies lecturer began, as some of you have heard me say before, with the words, "I don't like the word pastoral because I'm not a shepherd and you're not sheep." And I get that. I get that even more now. Our church Our world does not need any more hierarchy, no more systems that are set to preserve a status quo rooted firmly in patriarchy and the concentration of power into the hands of a very few. It doesn't take long for the image of shepherd and sheep to create the illusion of an imbalance between leaders and those who are led, to create a relationship where one is dependent upon the other for safety and comfort, provision and care. And yet when we take the image of good shepherds, the representation of the good shepherd which the gospel offers us today, and indeed the reality, the everyday reality of shepherding, then we will realize that this is not a relationship of one above the other, but a natural, mutual, life-giving relationship for both sides. The shepherd is nothing without their sheep, and sheep were valued so highly in the time of Jesus that the shepherd would indeed be the doorway to the sheepfold, lying across the gateway to protect against predators and keep the sheep safe and cared for through the hours of the night. Jesus mixes things up in today's gospel reading, describing himself as the doorway and as the shepherd. And if we were to carry on beyond the verses set for today, Jesus says another of the I am sayings, I am the good shepherd. Somewhere in the middle, there is a gatekeeper. One of those other words to which I have a knee-jerk reaction, which is perhaps better than saying I'm triggered by. The way we use gatekeeper today seems more about control of access to something than it is about protection in the sense of today's reading. Over the centuries, various branches of the church have and continue to consider themselves gatekeepers of access to the divine. Those who have the only way of worshiping or teaching or believing or confessing that allows an exclusive relationship to the truth. What I believe that we need from the church at this point are not declarations of ultimate truth, but places of safety to encounter the divine, however she may appear. Whether it be through carefully crafted liturgy, beautiful music, excellent preaching, pause for laughter, thank you, thoughtful intercession, visual art, silence, conversation, Bible study and shared prayer, choirs, acoustic guitars, rock bands, or however, church communities must be places of welcome, inclusion, affirmation, healing, and grace. Church communities, the walls around us should be places of embrace, not of imprisonment. And we should be places ready to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the call of the divine who draws us out of our churches to enter the abundant life that is within and without our walls, to proclaim the abundant life in the way in which we live in the world and the way in which we speak the truth to the cruel and manipulating shepherds, the institutions and systems which destroy the earth, and those which make people commodities to be used up. Our good shepherd calls us into partnership that we may all be good shepherds and good stewards of the gifts which we have been given. Those gifts include ourselves, our hearts and voices, as part of the good work of justice, of celebrating diversity, of affirming God's image in all people, and seeking equity in our world in whichever ways we can. The gospel writer tells us that Jesus says his sheep know him and they hear his voice, which poses the question for us, how do we hear that voice? And when Christ speaks, do we listen? I believe we do learn to hear the voice of God as we open our hearts and minds to the Spirit of God and to one another in vulnerability, care, and trust, in community, and with compassion. We are all in a process of learning to discern the divine voice as it calls to us, learning from one another, from the creative voices, from the prophetic voices, from the wise voices within our community. We listen too for the voices within our histories, within our congregation and its history, within our wider church history, and within our scriptures. We are seeking to hear the voice of Christ. But it's also, I'm convinced, and as you've heard me say many times before, we are learning to hear the voice of Christ beyond these walls. We hear again and again that God's love abides in all those who act in love, that the voice of Christ is found in the voice of the poor and of those in need. The voice of Christ is found in the scripture which declares love one another. The voice of Christ is found in challenging the structures and policies which keep people poor, needy, excluded, and downtrodden. The voice of Christ is found in the voices of all who speak and act for justice and love and compassion. May we continue to learn, to listen, to discern the voice of Christ in whichever way Christ speaks to us and wherever Christ meets us, that we may know the voice of the Good Shepherd. Thanks be to God. Amen.